You are now listening to Financial Fornicating with Madam Money and Friends, the podcast where controversial cash conversations and fun financial tips are shared for healthier relationships with your money. So sit back, relax, and get ready to be big mad or laugh out loud. Either way, we're about to learn something. Let's go.
Brian, my brother from another mother.
Yes,
what's going on with you?
Hey, just doing what I do, man. Getting ready for this upcoming tax season. You know, this year flew by, man. But we're going to be ready, though. We're going to be ready.
Well, there's a lot of things going on. But before we get into that, because I have a lot of questions. Well, I have some questions. You know, I got questions about 2023 taxes. But are you in the country?
For a hot second. Yeah, for a hot second.
I want to be like you when I grow up. Like you keep saying you're semi-retired, but you're always in another country every weekend.
That's semi-retired. that's the definition of it, to be able to go and hit other places and get out of the country, get out of the U.S. And because, you know, I've created a situation through taxes. That's a beautiful thing. I've created a situation where, you know, now I don't have to always work, and I can kind of set my own schedule, and I can head out the country when I want to or need to.
Yeah, you built that team. That was one of the things that, you know, I talk to a lot of my business owners. When you build a team and you become a business owner and the team actually does the work, then you have that freedom. You know, being self-employed, you still work. If you don't work, you don't eat. But other people can work. And you still get to eat and enjoy life. So I love it.
We can do a whole show on it. I got a concept that I patent that show people how to do it, man. And it's crazy, because if people just listen, you know, they'll be able to escape from their jobs.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That's a whole nother show that we're going to have to do on that. But let's talk about you first and how amazing you are. We've known each other for a long time, over 10 years.
Yes.
It's been over a decade that we've known each other, and we've done several projects together. We've supported each other in different events. You know, you've just been that support system. I have amazing men in my life, and you are one of those men that are just amazing to me in my life. And I thank you and honor you for that. But I want you to tell the world how awesome and amazing you are, what you do, who you are.
All right. Well, first, my name is Brian Joubert, a.k.a. Rich Boy, R-I-C-H-B-O-I. And that stands for really interested in caring how businesses operate internally. And so that's my passion. You know, everybody think it's the lifestyle that's about Rich Boy. But Rich Boy is about my passion, about teaching entrepreneurship, teaching taxes, teaching financial literacy. So I'm going into my 26th year in the tax business. Going into over 30 years as an entrepreneur. You know I barely look over 30, but now I've been in this game for quite some time, though, man. Originally from New Orleans, but been in Atlanta probably about 30, going on 30 years now. And so, you know, it's just been a great journey, man, and to put myself in a position, you know, that I can do what I want to do and not what I can do. But more gratifying is to be able to help others and put others in position to live the same lifestyle. And that's what I enjoy most. And that's why I appreciate you giving me this opportunity, because I love educating people, because I want to see us all live our destined life. And that's what I'm all about. So here I am.
And you are amazing. And you've taught me so much over the years. And I just love it. And now we're hearing all this. In 2022, we were hearing that our 2022 taxes in 2023, the refunds are going to get smaller. There are certain changes going to happen. And so we need to understand, what does that mean? So what's the major change that's going to happen in 2023 as far as our taxes are concerned? Because people are getting their tax stuff now, and they're about to file their taxes if they haven't done so already, and they're going to see some changes.
Yes. And I'm like, what you know about that? The smaller refunds. So what that mean is, that means me and my staff gonna get cussed out more. That's what it means. You know, first of all, because people gonna know how they went from an $8,000 refund down to a $3,000 refund.
Wow.
It's going to be real. It's going to be real, Tara. And I'm going to tell you, like, I've been already embracing my staff for it, because we're going to get a lot of it. You're going to see smaller refunds. And a lot of it, too, like people with children, it's going to be a big change for them, because one of the major things is the child care. That's one of the major things that's going to see, you're going to see a big difference with people in their refunds, because what happened was that used to be the worst credit ever, the daycare refund. I mean, the daycare credit. And it ended up going to last year. They changed the rule on it to where you used to get, I don't care if you spent $10,000, you can only write off $3,000. And of that $3,000, you get a percentage, which most people only got about $600. But last year, they changed it to where you get 50% of whatever you paid back to you as a refund. So now that means if I paid $8,000 in childcare, which is not unusual, I will get $4,000 back to me as a refund, as opposed to the prior years, I would only be able to write off a credit, wasn't refundable, of $600. They're going back to the old way.
Ooh.
So that means now, last year I got $4,000 extra dollars. Mm-hmm. Now I'm only get $600 credit. So you're going to see a substantial drop with that, because that was major.
Wow. And I know several, like my sister, she has a 2-year-old now. I mean, she glutton for punishment, but she had a teenager or a young woman at Howard University. And now she has a 2-year-old, right?
Yeah.
So that is going to be a major, major thing for her and the childcare that she's paying. Why are they making that change? What they did, they changed it the year before because of COVID. And now they're changing it because we're getting out of COVID. Why are they making that change back?
Because they believe that the economy is better. You know, they believe that the economy is better. So they made that change because they felt as though a lot of mothers, you know, per se, because they do favor single mothers per se. And so they figured a lot of mothers were struggling. So they changed that law to actually help mothers out, put more money in their pocket. The same with the stimulus. That's going to be the other part of where you're going to see a major deduction. Because see, people who didn't get the stimulus in their bank account or through the mail, they were able to get it on their tax refund last year. So that means that if I didn't get a stimulus through the mail, I was able to put it on my tax refund. And let's say I got 3 people in my family. So you're talking about your sister. Let's use her situation. It's 3 of them. So she was getting $1,400 per person. So that means now last year, and that was a refundable credit. So that means that she got $4,200 extra because she got the stimulus of $1,400. This year, that's gone. So that's another $4,200 that she won't be looking at on this year taxes.
So you won't get this, there won't be a stimulus credit.
No, it won't be a stimulus this year because they didn't give out none in 2022, mm-hmm. You know? And so that's going to hurt a lot of people because it's a lot of people who didn't get it throughout the year, but they was able to claim it on their taxes. Mm-hmm. That would be gone.
You know? Wow.
So you're talking about a lot of people actually got, you know, and it was some people who got the $1,400. Just if you were single, you got an additional $1,400 on your taxes. Mm-hmm. So that's $1,400 less that you're going to have, you know. And so those are some of the major things that more people are going to see. So even with the depreciation of your car, you've been hearing a lot of people say, well, you can write off 100% of your car, you know, if it's for your business. That's actually going from 100% to 80%. So this is why I tell everybody, if you're going to, you know, one of the strategies, if you're going to buy a car and you're going to use it for your business, you may want to just do it before the end of the year so you can get the 100% write off. Because if you wait to next year is going to go to 80, and then every other year for the next 5 years is going to go down 20%.
So when you say buy the car, because I know that if I finance it as a business loan, then I can only write off the interest. But no,
if you finance it, then that's fine. The only thing that you can't do is lease it.
Okay.
But if you finance it, they consider that you buying it.
Okay. So I actually, instead of financing it through my business, I give myself a stipend. I give myself a car stipend for my business. So if I give myself a car stipend, that pays my, cause I got it through my personal, I borrowed money against myself, whatever.
Yeah.
You purchase the car, right? So I'm actually, I have the title. It's secured by cash because I'm just, you know, using my collateral, my cash as collateral. But I give, my business gives me a car stipend every month. And I'm able to write off 100% of that stipend because it's an expense. It's a business expense or an employee benefit, right?
Uh-huh.
Okay. So that's not going to change or anything. But you're saying if you completely finance the car or you purchase the car as a business expense, you're only going to be able now to write off 80% of it, not 100%.
Not 100%. And, you know, and so that's going to be one of the ways you're going to see some smaller refunds because people are not able to write off the whole business expense of the car now, which is what they call what they call an accelerated depreciation. So, you know, you can actually get that. And if you don't buy next year, it's going to go down to 60%. And like I said, it's going to fade out in the next 5 years. So I would encourage people, you know, between this year and next year to definitely look at if you was looking to purchase. Now, I'm not just saying go out and purchase just to get the business expense. But if you was looking to purchase and you say, well, you know what, I'm going to definitely do it probably at the beginning of next year, then you may want to go ahead and try to do it before this year is out, you know, to mm-hmm. give that expense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. So we're talking about child, and this is the child tax credit, right? That is going to be reduced significantly.
Well, what you have is the child tax credit is going to help some people out. We were talking about the child care credit, which is
the daycare.
Child care credit is a daycare credit and the stimulus, you're going to see a lot of reduction. So like I said, in some people cases, and I was looking over some prior returns and it's going to be some people that's going to get, I saw three returns and one person was getting, they're going to get $7,000 less than they did last year.
Wow.
Another person was about 8,000 and then somebody else was like 4,500. And the problem with that is though there most people don't be proactive throughout the year and say, well, Brian, what's my situation and how are we going to look at the end of the year? What 90% of people do, they bank on whatever they did the previous year. Mm-hmm. That's what's going to happen next year.
Mm.
They're going to say, well, know what? And people, I don't care how much we talk about it, they still pre-spend that money.
Yep.
Before they get it. So they're already thinking. So Tara, if I got an $8,000 refund and people mind, they're already thinking, all right, this year, nothing changed with my situation. I make the same amount of money. I did the same this. I got the same amount of kids. So mm-hmm. I'm going to get $8,000 this year. So they're already planning that $8,000 out.
Mm-hmm.
But now when I tell you your refund going to be $3,200, it's going to be like a big shock, you know, and the issue. And this is why I tell people you got to do tax planning.
Yeah.
I went out twice to do reviews and nobody reached out to me to say, well, you know, Brian, let's do a review. Let's see what my tax is going to be. Let's see if anything's going to change, you know? And so we got to do a better job of tax planning.
So how often should people do like a tax planning or a tax review as a consumer? Cause I know as a business person, you know, I meet with my tax, I even talk to you about certain strategies and what we're going to do, right? So, you know, we're just a person, just a family, individual, single person, single mother, whatever. How frequently should you talk to a tax person or a tax professional to talk about these strategies or whatever?
At least twice a year.
Okay.
At least twice a year. You can do every quarter, but at least twice a year because, you know, at the mid-year, I want to know where I'm at. Like even as a W-2 employee, Am I having enough taxes taken out? Am I having too much taken out? Because I can have more of that money come home if I'm having too much. You know, because I might say, well, you know what? You're having a maximum amount taken out, but you have two kids. You know, you have daycare, you have this. So you have things to kind of offset not having to pay enough taxes. So that way I can get more of my money to come home. And this is why I tell people, you know, if you look at your situation, when people say, well, I wish I can invest. I don't have the money to invest. I tell people 90% of the things that you're trying to do is tied up in your taxes. It's tied up in your taxes, that you're not leveraging your taxes enough. You're not maximizing what you can keep in your pocket. And that's through being an employee or if you are a business owner.
So, you know, and I tell people all the time that even if you're an employee, it behooves you to be an entrepreneur as well. Shout out to the dualpreneurs, right? Because the IRS favors employers and entrepreneurs over employees. And that's a whole other tax show that we can talk about. But, you know, how much would it cost for someone to do like a review, a tax review with a tax professional? Does it cost anything? Is it complimentary? Is there an investment?
Yeah, well, that's the thing is that most people can't afford my price of free. Yeah, I'm just thinking that free is too much because I don't get enough calls. Like, I welcome this. When people be so excited that I be so excited when they come to me to do a review. Because I want us to do this, man. I'm not charging you to do a review. I want you to have your stuff together. And part of that is because I care about where we are as a community. You know, I want us to win. So I want you to be proactive. I want you to do what the rich and successful people do. They do. We talk about legacy. We talk about, you know, generational wealth, but we're not doing none of the things that actually people who have those things in place do. You know, so I welcome this, man. Come bring your taxes. Let me review. Let me see what's going on. If you pay a lot of taxes every year and you're not my client, I welcome you to say, all right, let's see why you're paying taxes every year. Let's see if you need to get out of the single member LLC and maybe do an S corp election. Let's see what you need to do to not pay. So I welcome that. And then it makes my job so much easier because if you know what to keep up with, you know what to do along the way. When you get to the end of the year, we're not trying to fix everything. It's tax time. So yeah, so I welcome it, man.
So it's almost like doing a physical, an annual physical or seeing your doctor regularly for maintenance, not necessarily to fix something because it's going to cost you more to have to fix it when you get sick. You have to pay the copay, you have to pay medication, you have to pay all this versus if you went on a regular basis for maintenance just to make sure everything's in tune, you know, even a car tune-up. You do car tune-up so you don't have to, if it doesn't break down, you make sure that it doesn't break down because breaking down and having to fix it is going to cost more. Same with the taxes.
Yeah, great analogy. Great analogy. Same thing, man. Same thing. Being proactive can save you so much more and help you keep more in pocket. Because again, if you're paying too much in taxes or you have a business that can leverage the amount of taxes you pay, I tell you, well, keep more of your money in pocket. You're not going to owe at the end of the year because you got a business that has write-offs. So if you're a dualpreneur, you need to be using this strategy to use your business, not to have you owe at the end of the year, because now I'm getting more of my money to come home in my check where I need it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So, and I love what you said about, they obviously can't afford your cost of free. So, you know, but they can afford that $2,000 purse, so $2,000 tickets, but your cost of free is obviously too expensive, obviously. So I need those people that can afford free to, you know, at least connect with Brian to do a return. He's not, and it's like, it's no purchase required, right? He's not saying that if you do this review, you have to work with him. He's just saying, I want to help you out. I'm trying to help you out.
Yes. And you don't have to be my client. And I do tell people, if I look over your stuff and I tell you multiple things that you could be or should be doing that the last person didn't tell you over the last couple of years, then you might just want to evaluate some things.
You know,
You might just want to maybe move locations, you know, but because again, everybody's not a tax strategist, you know, and that's what I pride myself on, being a tax strategist. You have tax preparers and you have tax strategists. Most people get stuck with their tax preparer. So that means when you was rocking with me when I just had my two children in daycare, but now I have a business, I have rental property, I have a corporation, I have all these different things now, and people are staying with those individuals who haven't elevated their knowledge to those levels. Mm. So this is why they're losing out, because they're like, all right, I've been rocking with them for 10 years, but you got to rock with the experience. You got to rock with the knowledge. And I understand it's nothing personal, you know, and you got to tell people. And I tell people all the time, if you want to actually challenge that person, start asking them the questions on the things that I teach you. And if they can't really give you no definitive answer, then they may not be right for you. And the thing is, they should understand. Mm-hmm. Because if you start saying, well, I heard something saying that I should be an S-Corp because of the way I pay my taxes or something. And they can't say, well, yeah, that's right. You should, because it is. And I don't know about that because your business. Then you might want to evaluate who you're dealing with. And just like we outgrow people in life, we outgrow our professionals sometime too.
And there it is.
Yeah, we outgrow our professionals.
And that's true, because and there, like you said, there's a difference between a tax preparer and a tax strategist, right? So that's why you have a primary care physician and then you have specialists. Your primary care physician, if you have heart issues, are they going to refer you to a cardiologist? If you need to have heart surgery, your primary care physician is not going to do the surgery. They're going to refer you to a heart surgeon. You know what I'm saying? So as your health or your illness progress or your situation progress, they refer you to someone that has the knowledge base to heal you, to help you, to serve you. Same with your taxes. Like you said, you may have started out as a 1040. Easy 1040, like them easy 1040s. What is that? A 1040 easy 1040 easy, right? So, and now you have a complicated tax return now, because you got businesses, you got real estate investing that we've been talking about all month. You know, you may have babies, your babies may have grown up, you know what I'm saying? You make more money. And so now it's just time to get to more of a specialist that can handle your situation. And I do want to point this out. Get with someone like Brian that will teach you, that will educate you. Not just say, well, this is what you need to do and all that, but don't educate you on what that means to you, that can translate it to how you can understand it. Because a lot of financial professionals love talking jargon and love talking over people's heads. You got to find someone that can break it down Barney style, you know, like that big elephant. I don't know if he was an elephant or whatever, the big purple dude, break it down Barney style so that we can all understand and we can put it into practice.
Yeah. And it's funny that you say that too, because I pride myself on it. And I always say, and I say this, I say the reason why I've been so successful with so many people is because I understand how to articulate this on any level. So no matter where you at in your knowledge level, I can get you to understand taxes and why you should make those moves. And what I found was, it's not a lot of people. Like you said, I know some intelligent people that's in this industry. And I've sat down and watched the audience as they speak, and people just looking around doing 100 things because they lost them. Because the thing is that people tap out when they don't understand or you're talking above their head. And the thing I think I've mastered is the ability to break down taxes and business in layman terms. And like, even when I talk about this in events and I say, how many people have heard of this before? And I say, I'm going to break it down, because most of y'all didn't get an understanding of it. You heard it, you never understood. And when I finish, most people say, well, Brian, I appreciate that, because now I have an understanding, you know. Mm-hmm. And so that's a goal of most. It should be the goal of most people to relate and connect.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You know, how intelligent you are. Let's connect. Let's make sure you understand, you know. And we're going to change your title from Madam Money to basically the analogy queen. You know, you broke that doctor thing down as well. You broke the car thing down. Like, you are the analogy queen, man.
Man, I just say, what would Jesus do? Jesus is my role model. He took complex topics or concepts, and he created analogies and parables so that we can understand and relate them.
Yeah, and that's a skill set. Like, you mastered that. Like, people get it. Like, once you break down those analogies that you put out there, they be like, oh, okay, now that makes sense. And that's what you have to do, is put it in layman's terms, everyday terms. You know, and so, yeah, I appreciate you for having that skill. And like, you hit me with some sound like, okay, you know what? I got to use that.
All you have to do is give me credit at least twice.
Credit though.
And then the next time it could be yours.
Yes.
You know, it's all good.
When we talking about surprises this year, I'm going to tell you one thing. I know we getting close to time, but the biggest surprise I think is going to really, well, no, the smaller refund is going to probably be the biggest surprise. But But the second thing is those 1099-Ks that people are going to receive from PayPal, Cash App, Venmo. That's going to be huge.
Is it just for the businesses, or is it for everybody?
Well, and that's what I think the IRS is actually considering putting it on hold, because they still don't have a definitive plan. But okay. Right now, is still active, and that's what we're trying to find out. Like, really, realistically, it's supposed to be like, if you do business to business transaction, you're going to get that. Zelle is the only one that said now they won't be issuing 1099s. Now, you're still supposed to report the money, but Zelle has opted out for whatever reason. And so I don't think the IRS knows specifically. Like, everybody that's getting Cash App right now, you're going to get a 1099K for that. So
that doesn't make any sense, because if I'm sending my son money on Cash App.
And I think that's where the confusion is like you said, you sending your son the Cash App. Somebody said it was business Cash App. So I'm just trying to really find out. But again, PayPal, if you don't use the friends and family and you have people pay through PayPal, because if you use friends and family, you can distinguish it on PayPal.
Right, right.
So if you use the friends and family, you're not supposed to get a 1099-K. But if you use it for, anything
invoicing, business, services.
Goods and services, you're supposed to get it. Now, the other thing I heard was, that is going to be a lot of mistakes. Like you say, your son might get a 1099-K because you've been Cash Apping him. Like, I know some people I may have cashed out, but there's supposed to be a box on the tax return that said the 1099-K was in error.
Okay.
Now, that's what I'm hearing from research that I've done, to where on certain people is going to be exempt when you put that down there, when you put that the 1099-K was in error, you check that box. Now, the IRS still have the right maybe to investigate it, but I don't think they're going to do so, because they still haven't got a grip on how they're going to actually manufacture everybody's. But I know PayPal, Venmo, those are going to pretty much be a lot more accurate, because those are usually business to business.
Wow.
You know, and so that's going to be surprising to a lot of people, because know why? Because first of all, you got a lot of people who was under the radar, because you never got money, you never got taxed for that. So right. It's people that received $40,000 and $50,000, $60,000 through PayPal and Venmo that was never on paper, so they never filed taxes. They right. never
did a tax. That's the electronic or the technological equivalent to under the table.
Pretty much, yeah.
Right, right. Yeah. So you get paid under the table. They pay you cash instead of paying you check or whatever. And so people have been doing that PayPal, Venmo, Cash App, and that's the technological under the table.
Yeah, exactly. And it's going to be reported now. And so when you get that, and now you get something for $50,000, $60,000, $70,000 that you never even considered. And I know you wasn't proactive.
And you know. It's
going to get ugly out there.
So So now I have to ask a political question. Did these changes, was it based on who was in office at the time that they made these changes, or it was going to happen regardless of what political party was there?
I believe it was going to happen regardless. The IRS just so behind. All these systems are antiquated. You hear that big word I learned. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but you know, their systems are way behind. And they're just transforming a lot of things to the current state in which we're in now. Like, you just been able to, last year was the first year that you able to electronically file amendments, you know, and that, come on, y'all gonna file everything else electronic. You couldn't do amendments, you know, and so you basically have that. And then they just started, like, with the credit card processing, maybe about 4 or 5 years ago. Like, with credit cards, used to be like that. If you took credit cards, it was nothing that was on paper. But now with credit cards, you actually get the statement, the 1099-K, to have to report that if you accept credit card. So they transitioning all of that stuff is just a slow process, because they understand they're losing billions. Like, right now, it made sense for them, because the COVID did, what COVID did was change a lot of companies without using cash. So not everything was on electronic. Like, we couldn't keep up. Like, there's no way for them to dictate how much they were losing with cash payments. But with this is on paper. So now it's a matter of us really just putting it in place, and we're going to fine tune it, because now we can track you.
Wow. Wow. There's so much more to talk about. I'm going to have you come back. Of course, you're going to have to come back on a regular basis.
One main thing on this, though, what you have to do, knowing that you're going to possibly get taxed, if you have to give Square, PayPal, Venmo, anybody your tax, your social or tax ID number when you fill this out, please use your tax ID number. Please use your tax ID number and not your social. Because when you get those 1099s in your social, it ain't much that we can do for you. But if you get it in your tax ID number, there's different strategies that we can probably put into place to help offset some of that money.
So that is a bit, that's another reason why you need to start a business, create a business identity. You know, a lot of people incorporate themselves or whatever, but that is a whole other strategy that we are definitely going to have to talk about, especially with all of our dualpreneurs that are out there, entrepreneurs that are out there, or people that want to become entrepreneurs. So he dropped some major insider information to look out for. So when you get your tax refunds and it's not what you thought it was going to be, don't be mad, because we tried to tell you. I'm just saying, we tried to tell you.
Yes, and they'll call me next week talking about, what can I do? You can pray. You can pray and work on next year.
Work on next year.
At this point, ain't nothing you're going to be able to do by this year.
Absolutely, absolutely. So, and that's the same thing I said, like, someone, I was going to do a photography, right? And I said, okay, so what can you do? He's like, ain't much I can do. You are who you are. You know, we can strategize on how you're going to look next year, or you need to prepare to look the way you want to look. I was like, okay, all right, I get it. Yeah. No problem. Well, Brian, tell us how we can get in contact with you, how people can connect with you so that they can, you know, do a session with you, a review to plan for next year, or if they don't have a tax strategist in their life and they so need one, how can they connect with you?
All right. If you have questions or concerns after listening to this, you know, you can call the office at 678-213-1141. That's LB Tax and Business Advisors. Or you can go to the website at lbtaxservice.com. Shoot us an email at updates@lbtaxservice.com, or follow me on Instagram at richboyjup1, richboyjup1, and then on all platforms, lbtaxbiz.
Awesome. Awesome. So, you know, I so appreciate you being on the show today. I so appreciate all the information that you continue to give. Thank you for being that role model to help the community. You do so much in the community. And thank you for being that role model for me of being semi-retired and semi-vegan. You know, my son's vegan and I'm still trying to figure it out, but, you know, I'll take the semi-vegan role. So
you can't go from 0 to 100.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
You can't be an eat beef and all that stuff for 30, 40 years and just say, I'm going to stop eating beef. Like, you know, you just got to cut back on it. You just got to start implementing some semi-vegan stuff in there, you know, start buying some vegan butter and some vegan milk and, you know, just transition slowly.
I'm trying. Same thing with your taxes. You know, you can transition slowly, but sometimes you need help doing it. And Brian's the one to help you. So make sure you reach out to them. Thank you, everyone, for watching. Brian, thank you for showing up. I appreciate you. And we will see you on the next broadcast, the next podcast, the Vets Video Cast. We love you. There's nothing you can do about it.
All right. Peace.